Greetings in the Lord. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem, carrying on in the Kingdom of God section. Chapter 71. The Furnace of Fire. Scriptures. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us make trial of the Lord, as some made trial, and perished by the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, and perished by the destroyer. Now these things happened unto them by way of example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, make a way of escape, that ye may be able to endure it. Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as unto wise men. Judge ye what I say. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 to 15, American Standard Version. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, and saidest thou not, there is no hope? Thou hast found the life of thine hand? Therefore thou wast not grieved? And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared? That thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have I not held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain. And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take away the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit shall fail before me and the souls which I have made. Isaiah chapter 57, verses 10 to 16. And there was a time when I was living without the law. But when the law gave its orders, sin came to life and put me to death. And I made the discovery that the law, whose purpose was to give life, had become a cause of death. For I was tricked and put to death by sin, which took its chance through the law. But the law is holy, and its orders are holy, upright, and good. Was then that which is good death to me? In no way. But the purpose was that sin might be seen to be sin by working death to me through that which is good, so that through the orders of the law, sin might seem much more evil. For we are conscious that the law is of the Spirit, but I am of the flesh, given into the power of sin. And I have no clear knowledge of what I am doing. For that which I have a mind to do, I do not. But what I have hate for, that I do. But if I do that which I have no mind to do, I am in agreement with the law that the law is good. So it is no longer I who do it, but the sin living in me. For I am conscious that in me, that is in my flesh, there is nothing good. I have the mind, but not the power, to do what is right. For the good which I have a mind to do, I do not. But the evil which I have no mind to do, that I do. And if I do what I have no mind to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin living in me. So I see a law that though I have a mind to do good, evil is present in me. In my heart, I take pleasure in the law of God, but I see another law in my body, working against the law of my mind, and making me the servant of the law of sin, which is in my flesh. How unhappy am I! Who will make me free from the body of this death? I give praise to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with my mind, I am a servant to the law of God, but with my flesh, to the law of sin. Romans chapter 7, verses 9 to 25, Bible in Basic English. End Scriptures. Three visions. First vision. Then the angel which had carried me to the paved work set me down upon it. To my left I beheld a fire which enfolded in upon itself, and in the midst of the fire a throne set, even the throne of the Lord, and upon the throne the Lord did sit. As I beheld the face of the Lord, I cried unto the angel, Let me die, for I have seen the Lord. As I cried unto the angel, I fell over to my right against the angel which held me up. Viewing this terrible sight, I saw that the Lord looked upon me. My heart melted and felt unworthy that the Lord should look upon me. He spoke several things which I know will soon be seen in the earth, as his works upon this age draws to a conclusion. His voice was as the sound of many waters, and as a trumpet speaking. It was then that I realized that the Lord is working mightily in the lives of his people, but they, for the most part, are not aware of his greater works in them. End first vision. Second vision. I beheld then very briefly and very quickly the running of the Lord's army. As each member ran, they had their faces set with a very straight boldness, and they all abode in eternal bodies glorified, running to and fro, yet in a perfect pattern through the earth. As each member ran, there was no place for anyone to hide. There was nothing in the earth that was related to death and dying that this army did not discover while they ran. As this running continued, everything that hath been lain in death died by the power of their countenances. For the Lord shone forth from them destroying everything that was not of himself. All that was destroyed by the fall of this creation was in turn destroyed, so that death everywhere died. Many did run at the army to attack them and to counter their run, but for men it was all to no avail, for nothing was able to stop the forward progression of this army in delivering creation from death. End second vision. Third vision. I saw then that the army of the Lord ran forward to discomfit and destroy all that had not been destroyed in the great shaking, that as they ran, Jesus stood in their midst. As he stood as captain of the army and of the host of heaven, he wore a beautiful white garment down to his ankles. The sleeves were long around his neck. On the collar of this white garment that was gold braid and draping over his right shoulder, going down around his left side, a purple robe. The Lord Jesus Christ stood in the midst of the army with his nail-scarred hands and feet and his arms outstretched. As he stretched out his arms, multitudes upon multitudes, thousands and tens of thousands, a countless number of people from every corner of the earth came unto his opened arms. As the army of the Lord destroyed all that was death in the earth, Jesus stood in the midst, receiving each and every soul unto himself, saving each one which would come. The army of the Lord had taken away all the wealth and building of men. Nothing was left but a Savior in the midst of the earth, and to that Savior the nations ran in company. They ran past the army, past the crucible of death, past the judgment that was taking place in the earth, unto Jesus to be saved. Not one soul was left out of that salvation. And Jesus' arms were big enough, wide enough, and his heart of love strong enough and gentle enough to save each and every nation and individual that came because of the marching of the army of the Lord. End visions. The overcomer in this very day and in this very hour is very much without any clue or knowledge of the present motion of the Spirit of the Lord. Let me repeat that first opening line again. The overcomer in this very day and in this very hour is very much without any clue or knowledge of the present motion of the Spirit of the Lord. They that overcome know truth, for it is in the inward parts. They can bear witness to that truth. They can know the scriptures or the motion of spirit that broods over the word, but they themselves are very unperceptive of the Lord himself in them. To them, the Lord seems to have dropped off the map. He is not seen, known, or perceived, that one would think, for those who have been called to partake of the throne of glory. The notion of his divine presence is something that they can only remember from the past. The calling is there, the tug to come higher in the Lord is there, but rare and faint is any knowledge of the motion of the Lord in their midst. This is indeed the will of the Lord for they that would inherit all things. They do not know right now at this moment exactly or precisely where the Lord is located outside of their faith. Right now, in this very year and in this very time, the overcomer as in a very dry place. They have no perception as to which way is up. They only see their failings, their falseness, their flesh. The spirit in them that they love is buried by mounds and mounds of their own dust, that dust being the flesh they have learned to loathe. Rather than seeing the Lord come forth in them in power, they see their own flesh come forth contradicting that power. Rather than finding themselves equipped and holy to enter the city of God, they find that they are unclean, because when they look in the mirror, all they can see is their own flesh. They find it hard to believe that the Lord can live in them. Overcomers are, right now, in this very perplexing place. Yet I say unto you that this place you are in is in the exact perfect center of the will of the Lord for your very lives. This place is indeed your preparation for receiving your glorified body. As you relish the thought that you will one day awake in his likeness, know that for that to happen, you must first fully awake opposite to his likeness. You must first come to full flesh, vile and rife with negative hope and incredible opposition to what you truly desire to be. Your entire fleshly nature, which Jesus put to death on the cross, must first come to full scope in your eyesight. As it does, you will notice two things. Number one, that the flesh is so vile and unkempt that you absolutely hate and loathe your own life in this world, and that you cannot be at all satisfied with it. And number two, that deep down in the inner core of your being, there is emerging a furnace of fire from down inside the center of your spirit, which fire is God, who is a consuming fire, who by his spirit will consume all your loathsome flesh. Know that in our day, the overcomer is unidentifiable, unknown, unperceived, normal looking, and out there on the highways and the streets and the byways, not known for who they are in Christ. They are out there enduring this world and their life in it, struggling daily like the rest of mankind to make a living and to pay their bills or to accumulate enough to live on. They live in families with often hurtful and severe situations and conflicts, or they live alone with a spouse, or alone with only the wrestlings of their own thoughts to contend with. The overcomer does not know or feel like they are any kind of conqueror. Instead, they are grieved, hopeless, and they know that in them, that is in their flesh life, there is no good thing. These are overtaken with the mundane world and their part in making society work. Submitting to the sword bearers, they obey the laws of the land by the best of their ability, and sometimes even try to do better. But to know that they hold this high calling, and to know that they bear about in themselves this better thing than they are personally, is something that they often cannot imagine. To them, the Lord is a distant thing in their faith, the solid rock of being one who overcomes all things, is instead buried by flesh and dust, likened to a dead man walking, and with no real tangible evidence that the Lord is truly working in them. Such are they that are called to the eternal throne, or if you will, to first be a part of his army and ending death in this dying creation. Add to this lack of knowing that there is any real hope, the fire of the Lord. For in truth, the true overcomer is being roasted alive right now by the Spirit of the Living Father. For he sits at the crucible of burning, torching in us everything that is of the flesh nature and of the negative death realm we have all learned to hate. As this fire burns upwards through the elements of our lives, we find that it pushes ahead of its flames the vileness we cannot stand. That flesh we wish we never had, that life we hoped we'd never have to contend with. Up from the inner recesses of our lives comes forth this vile flesh, which we hate, and at this very present moment, it is only that very flesh we seem to be able to see. If that is you, then know this, you are right on course. You are right on course. You are being prepared to reveal his glory. And it is in you. Wearied and driven by the fires of consummation that Jesus will appear in and that Jesus will glorify in the first resurrection. Know this, dear reader of these pages. The Lord is boiling you up in the crucible of testing. Your life is being consumed by the fires of his judgment. He is out to crucify and destroy all in you that is not of his name or his nature. And there is nothing you can do to stop it. It is happening. For some, it is mild. For others, it is incredibly hot and intense. But either way, it is happening to those who will form the army of the Lord. This fire will not cease until all your flesh ceases. And this fire will not be quenched until all that is in you is burnt to ashes. Out of that ashen heap will arise the person who you truly are, one born after the Spirit, risen out of the tomb of death into the eternal life of this brand new day. And that, dear reader, is why you are in such testings in this day. Our God does sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he is scraping off your dross. The wooden stick of correction is being swept across your flesh, and the corrections seem endless. But there is very soon going to be an end. For this crucible of molten silver will be pure in holiness and full redemption, and he who sits to refine you will see in this hot fired liquid the perfect mirror image of his very own face. At that point, your trials will be at an end, and you, dear reader, will enter the eternal glorified state. There are many trials in this world, many issues happening, many divisions and disruptions and discouragements, many things that happen day in and day out, which cause one to be found lacking any true peace or hope for a gentle existence. The world seems to be out of control, and the threats against life are more numerous than one can count on a daily newscast. Man has invented things out of evil hearts that can obliterate this creation in a moment of time. In the midst of this walks the overcomers, those who will one day be part of the glorified company, who will remove the veil of death that is cast upon all nations. First, in those who are overcoming, the veil of flesh is being removed, by this hot, burning furnace of fire. When that is done, and death is gone in them, and they are glorified, they in turn will complete the destruction of death in this world, and all that man has built out of an evil heart will be forever destroyed. Allow me to repeat that a little bit again, please. And there is nothing you can do to stop it. It is happening. For some, it is mild. For others, it is incredibly hot and intense. But either way, it is happening to those who will form the army of the Lord. This fire will not cease until all your flesh ceases. And this fire will not be quenched until all that is in you is burnt to ashes. Out of that ashen heap will arise the person who you truly are, one born after the Spirit, risen out of the tomb of death into the eternal life of this brand new day. And that, dear reader, is why you are in such testings in this day. Our God, who does sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he is scraping off your dross. The wooden stick of correction is being swept across your flesh, and the corrections seem endless. But there is very soon going to be an end. For this crucible of molten silver will be pure in holiness and full redemption, and he who sits to refine you will see this hot fired liquid in the perfect mirrored image of his very own face. At that point, your trials will be at an end, and you, dear reader, will enter the eternal glorified state. Thank you for allowing me to reread that. There are many trials in this world, many issues happening, many divisions and disruptions and discouragements, many things that happen day in and day out, which cause one to be found lacking any true peace or hope for a gentle existence. The world seems to be out of control, and the threats against life are more numerous than one can count on a daily newscast. Man has invented things out of evil hearts that can obliterate this creation in a moment of time. In the midst of this walks the overcomers, those who will one day be part of the glorified company who will remove the veil of death that is cast upon all nations. First, in those who are overcoming, the veil of death is being removed by this hot, burning furnace of fire. When that is done, and death is gone in them, and they are glorified, they in turn will complete the destruction of death in this world, and all that man has built out of an evil heart will be forever destroyed. The Lord has one purpose, and that is to restore all things back unto himself. No one will be able to prevent this from happening. To do this, the Lord must judge all things and burn up all that is not found to be life in himself. He is doing this first in the first fruits company. Why do you suppose that sometimes you cannot perceive the Lord in any other way except in your faith? It is because your dross is being boiled to the surface. Nothing I am sharing here should be foreign to your understanding. It should all just be a perfect confirmation. It does not matter what your status in life is at this present time, whether you are wealthy or poor, healthy or sick, clothed or unclothed. Your status in life, if you are called to overcome, will all fall under the very same fiery judgment of the Lord. Everything in you that makes you a person will be subjected to the fires of his burning. The refuse will he destroy and remove from you. And the pure you that you really are will reflect perfectly his image, no part lacking. This is that same crucible of fire that Jesus endured, which caused him to sweat great drops of blood. He took part in that cup of suffering, and in that cup he drank it to the dregs, knowing full well that it meant the death of the cross. It is no different for one who has been called to overcome. They will indeed follow this pattern, son. The elements of the New Jerusalem, the city with all parts intact and with the life of the Lord in absolute holiness, will be manifested in glorified bodies and those who are presently lost in the foray of this fire. Those who endure now this burning and this putting off of that man of sin, through their lives will be the unbounded measure of the holy city of the Lord for the sole purpose of setting free this fallen creation from death and destruction. Such is your calling, and if you are indeed part of the fire of testing in the nitty-gritty of everyday life, upon you has this great honor been established. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.